Billy Cart there. You are on In Your Face here on Smith Street, here with James on 3CR. I am rapt to have Dave Massingham in the studio from Murder Village and Improvised Whodunit, which will be happening at the Comedy Festival. Welcome to 3CR.
Thanks so much for having me.
You have some of the best improvisers in the country working on this. Tell us about it.
We're really lucky to have some pretty amazing, talented people who jump into our little murder mysteries. It's an improvised whodunit. It's all there in the title. We're creating an Agatha Christie-style murder mystery using the audience suggestions, and we're doing it on the spot.
Wow. You have an incredible role, Dave, because you are the director, the producer, and one of the actors. Mm-hmm. What's that juxtaposition like?
Yeah, there's a lot to do with it, but the show format that I've developed is kind of, it couples the director and the acting part really in hand together, because I essentially direct the show from the point of view of the hapless village idiot cop who's in this English town in the 1950s. He's not very good at solving murders, but thankfully there's an amateur sleuth who's come along, and they know their murders from their red herrings, from their alibis. They've got it all figured out. So I kind of, through narration and interactions with our cast members, can direct the show that way. And it's a lot of plates to spin, but that's kind of the fun. I think that's why people come to improvised theatre a little bit, to see how are they going to keep the plates up in the air.
It's so immersive, and people just love that as well. What's it like for you switching between being director, producer, and then being one of these improvisers? That must be an amazing thing to do, but also the audience, the wild card factor with the audience. What's that like?
The audience is the wild card factor, aren't they? So yeah, in terms of the directing and the producing, I produce when I'm off stage, I direct when I'm on stage, and we'll leave it at that. So I can split them down the middle, but yeah, the fun of it so much is the audience and what they bring. So they get a little there's a QR code. We're living in this, this age now, a QR code that they scan to fill out a little quiz before the show starts. So they're sitting there in the audience waiting for the show to start, and they're voting for which of our four suspects each night will be the killer and which one will be the victim, and we look at it seconds before you're on stage. So we've come up with the character ideas in advance, but we're improvising all the relationships. The audience suggests a weapon, they suggest a clue, maybe an extra, plot element, and we kind of try and weave them together, having just read them to ourselves, like literally a minute before the show starts. So it's a fun juggle. The audience can really throw some interesting things at us, and we're also looking for interesting things, because we get a lot of people suggesting for the weapon candlestick. Candlestick's been done, you get certain things. But if you've got somebody who's like thinking outside the box, like if something specific, it's the wonderful surprises is what really keeps you going and coming back.
Do you love the adrenaline of it and that spontaneity where it's all happening really, really quickly with no warning? Is that in some ways a blessing because you go into autopilot?
It keeps you present. It keeps you right there. And it means, because as you said at the top, we've got some wonderful performers who do perform with us in Murder Village. It's a wonderful opportunity to connect with these players live on stage, and we don't know what's coming out of each other's mouths next. We're going to be creating something that we never expected, and that's really wonderful and exciting, particularly when you're trying to weave something as complex as a plot of a Agatha Christie style murder mystery. It can get us in a fun way, I think, occasionally, tied up into knots, but we'll always unknot ourselves in the end.
How do you train as an actor for this?
Well, there's a lot of improvised courses and classes and schools out there. I think most of the cast have had one or two schools that they've probably studied with. It's about changing your state of mind mainly, though, I think. It is about being willing to fail and willing to embrace failure, because if you're going to get up on stage and you don't know what's kind of coming out of your mouth, sometimes you're going to fail sometimes. But if you're failing in a joyful way, and if you're willing to make the most out of those mistakes, these mistakes actually can turn around and become genuinely the best bit of the show.
That is so true. I mean, live radio is like that. Sometimes the unexpected things, where you have to dig deep and improvise, just turn out to be so magical.
Mm.
Yeah. So tell us a bit more about your cast, like these actors that you're working with.
Yeah. So for this season, we've got So I've got quite a broad cast for the show. I think there's a total of like 17, 18, 19 of us performing.
And they rotate.
The show. They rotate, yeah. So we've got 7 people on stage each night. We've got an improvising musician who's on stage every night. They create the music that creates the mood. And we've got some very experienced improvising musicians from Melbourne who take care of that part of the show. Each week for this season, because we've been running now for 10 years, it's nearly 10 years of Murder Village, we've got a few different sleuths. The people who you have to look really clever and solve the crime. And they genuinely don't know who did it. They genuinely have to work it out in front of the audience. The audience will see them standing in front of them the entire time. So they don't duck out the back with us to look at the answers. They actually have to work it out. Each week we got a different sleuth. So if you come in the first week, we've got a Hercule Poirot type sleuth played by an amazing improviser named Liam Amor, who's been improvising since the 1990s. He's a very experienced actor as well as improviser. In the second week, we've got, I think the second week is Catherine Toohill, who's a very, very accomplished actress here in Melbourne. And she plays sort of like a very wily sort of housekeeper who solves everything. And then we've got a wonderful authoress, Agatha Christie style, who solves murders herself. She writes murders and she solves them. That's played by Louisa Fitzharding. And the final week of the festival, we've got I think every murder mystery is fun to have a sleuth who is actually a priest on the side. So we've got a priest
no
who
way.
Comes.
A real one.
He's not a real priest, but he's got a dog collar. He's played by a wonderful performer named Isaac Leo. So each week we have a different performer, and all sleuths are played. All the suspects, I should say, are played by some of the best improvisers in the country, including people like Jason Geary, who you might know as Mr. iSelect. I know he's back on the screens now, but he's been improvising for years and years. Amy Moore, she's been improvising for a long time, and Anna Buckley. There's a whole heap.
So is it like a reunion? Because you've been going for 10 years, like these, it's like, oh, you're back. Oh, wonderful. I haven't seen you for 5 years. Gee, you're looking well.
No, not quite, because we're performing all the time. Next week, I'm going to Adelaide.
Wow.
Adelaide Fringe with some of them. And we just came from Perth. We did the Perth Fringe Festival a few weeks ago. And then we're going to Brisbane Comedy Festival after Melbourne. So we do perform a fair bit. After the Fringe Festival and Comedy Festival season kind of, you know, quiets down for the year, we kind of like have a relatively quiet winter, but then we come back for the second half of the year for Melbourne Fringe and other things like that.
So for basically 3/4 of the year, you're doing whodunits.
Yeah. Making them up on the spot.
Wow. Do you dream about it?
Well, I grew up on whodunits. So I the reason why I kind of wanted to do a show, obviously I've improvised in many other shows and I've been an improviser for a very long time since, you know, I don't want to give my age away. The reason why I developed a show that was focused on Agatha Christie style whodunits is because I loved them and I grew up on them. So I've kind of always had them a little bit in my head. My mum gave me paperbacks when I was a kid and I read them then. I remember watching, you know, Midsummer Murders and all those sorts of shows when I was younger. So Jonathan Creek, that's kind of always been in the back of my head somewhere. So it doesn't feel like any more than it was since I was a young'un.
Wow. So you started off with Agatha Christie books. You're reading them.
Yeah.
How old
remember
were you?
People read?
Remember that? How old were you when you read your first Agatha Christie?
That's a good question. I'm going to hazard a guess, probably around 10-ish.
Wow. Yeah. And then you graduated to videos and then DVDs.
Yeah, exactly
you
right.
You are like a chronology of you know, the different formats of murder mysteries.
Well, we I think all of us have got a bit of a knowledge of it and we kind of take that into the fray. But they haven't really gone away, right? We've got like last year only, they had the next Benoit Blanc mystery, the Wake Up Dead Man film from Rian Johnson. That was hugely popular, and that was the Knives Out, you know, third film, I think. So they're still in vogue.
Wow. So what's the biggest change in murder mysteries that you've observed over the years?
That's a good question, actually. I think there's so many different subgenres. I guess the style that we're trying to ape is that sort of quote-unquote cozy murder mystery. Somebody dies, but it's all very sanitized, and there's sort of like, you know, it's a comedy of manners almost on top of that as well. It's very English. It's very buttoned down. I feel like nowadays there's other murder mysteries that are more modern that are kind of trying to bring in things like technology and different professions. But even then, I'm thinking of some of the most popular at the moment, they do have that same DNA. They're puzzle boxes. Ultimately, that's what people like them for. They're little puzzle boxes that you can try and solve yourself. So you're less of a passive participant or audience member. You are actively trying to work it out from your seat. And then if you're right, you'll feel clever. And if you're wrong, you hopefully, if the Murder Mystery's done its job properly, tip your hat to the Murder Mystery and go, good work, you outsmarted me this time.
Those many years of watching murder mysteries on TV and DVD and VHS and reading about them. But who is the greatest actor that you've seen on a screen performing in a murder mystery?
Oh, that's tough. Look, my favourite... Look, I'm a Miss Marple fan. I love Miss Marple, the little old lady who's shrewd enough to solve the crime. And I think the definitive Miss Marple is the 1980s one played by Joan Hickson, who I suppose not many people would remember now, but she's very, very strong. I really enjoy, actually, Daniel Craig as Benoit Blanc. He's got this ridiculous accent, but I think that knowing sort of wink of the silliness is part of it. And so I think he's probably the modern torchbearer for a new exciting sleuth.
What is the best Agatha Christie book you read?
Well, I think maybe the one that I remember most specifically the act of reading was The Murder of Roger Ackroyd, which is a very famous novel because it kind of played with the form a little bit. And I don't want to obviously give it away because it is like a pretty iconic novel, but it did cause a little bit of a stir because of the reveal of who the murderer was. And it's a very clever and groundbreaking murder mystery for the time. I think since then, the twist, I suppose, that particular book has been aped and copied by many others, as so many good twists often are. But I wasn't aware of it when I first read it when I was young. So I was probably only 13 or 14 when I read it. And I remember it sticking with me.
What did you think of Miss Fisher's murder mysteries? I'd love to see you in that series, actually.
Oh, thank you very much. I love them. They're heaps of fun. And that's another great example of taking that coziness, like putting it in sort of, you know, that sort of 1920s sort of flapper era sort of stylistic part of the past, and popping in a character who's so charismatic and energetic. They're always heaps of fun, those ones.
And Essie Davis, what a great actress.
Oh, everything she's in. Babadook.
So could you see yourself being on telly or in film as a, you know, whodunit? Is that something you'd love to do?
Oh, wow, yes. I love any kind of whodunit. I'll be the body.
Fantastic. Well, Murder Village, an improvised whodunit, is happening at the Arts Centre Melbourne, the Members Lounge, and it's happening from the 28th of March to the 19th of April. 26th of March to the 19th of April.
We're doing
April.
The full thing this year, yeah, all 4 weeks.
Dave Massingham, the director, the producer, and one of the actors, thank you so much for joining us today on 3CR.
Thanks so much for having me, James.
3CR. In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.